Lieutenant Esme Suiza arrived at Training Command's Copper Mountain Base with high hopes, only to find herself waiting her turn for security clearance in a big reception hall with two of the ugliest murals she'd ever seen. On the right, over the comm booths, a scene of ships in combat in space. They looked nothing like ships as Esme had seen them from the outside. Realism would have been dull at best, but she couldn't help an internal smirk at the astronomical decorations. Stars, comets, spiral galaxies. On the left, over the luggage dumps, a scene depicting ground combat, which looked even less realistic than the space one. For one thing, nobody's uniform ever stayed that clean. For another, the artist had only a shaky grasp of anatomy and perspective. All the figures looked squashed sideways. Esme tried to get her mind back to her own high hopes. A change in track from technical to command, and she was finally pursuing her destiny, using her best talents. Certainly her commanders thought so. She had made friends, including Baron Serrano, who was, if she was honest with herself, much more than a friend. In his admiration, she felt herself more capable. In his concern, she felt herself loved. That still made her uncomfortable. She had never really thought about love, about being loved, and she could hardly believe it had happened, or that it might last. But she still felt the touch of his hands on her face. She pulled herself back from that memory and made herself consider what came next. She glanced at the space combat scene again and could not help shaking her head. The sergeant at the first security station smiled at her.
Gruesome, aren't they, sir? Supposed to be very old and valuable, but really, it looks like something done by a half-gifted amateur.
That's probably what they got.
Esme presented her orders and identification.
Lieutenant, new rules require a full med ID scan before you receive station tags. If you'll follow the yellow line to the next station, they'll get started.
Security had been tighter all the way across Familius space, a natural result of all that had happened in the past quarter year. Still, she hadn't expected the level of confirmation required here at a training base whose only access was through a fleet-controlled orbital station. Where were intruders supposed to be coming from? An hour later, she was waiting outside yet another security checkpoint. It was ridiculous.
How long does it take to do a retinal check? Even a full neuroscan?
Her stomach growled, reminding her that she'd broken one of the great rules of military life. Eat whenever you get a chance. She could have grabbed a snack before leaving the transport, but, her memory mocked her, it was only supposed to be a couple of hours down to Copper Mountain. In for the retinal check at last.
Just follow the yellow line, Lieutenant.
But can't you just...
Follow the yellow line.
Which ended in another bench to wait on until her name was called. Ahead of her was a whole squad of neuro-enhanced combat troops. She'd heard of these, but never seen any up close. They looked like anyone else, who happened to be carrying about twice the muscle and half the fat of anyone else. They fell silent as she came up to the bench. Esme felt fragile beside them.
Excuse me, Lieutenant.
Esme looked up to see that they had reshuffled themselves to put one of the women next to her.
Yes?
Are you the Lieutenant Suiza who was on Despite and then Kosciusko?
Esme nodded.
Lieutenant, I'm really glad to meet you. We've always wondered what it's like outside during FTL flight. Would you mind telling us about it? They tell us the debriefing sims won't be out for another 6 months.
It's really odd. First, the starfield disappears.
Suiza! If we don't take you now, you'll be here for hours. These neuro-enhanced jobs take forever.
Esme felt a wave of cold dislike rise from the seated squad and hoped they were aiming it at the clerk and not her.
Excuse me.
Of course, Lieutenant.
The woman who had asked her the question had green eyes, startling in her dark face. Then she looked beyond Esme to the clerk, and Esme was not surprised to feel the clerk stiffen. She hadn't had a full neuroscan since she entered the academy, and it was still as boring as ever, being stuck in the dark maw of the machine, following orders to think of this or that, or imagine moving her left little finger. Finally, it was done, and the last yellow line led her back to the desk where her duffel lay waiting for her, along with a handful of ID tags she would need for the facilities she was authorized to enter.
Junior officer's quarters, a mess that way, sir.
The sergeant gave a crisp salute as he passed her through. Esme returned it and stepped onto the indicated walkway. She had missed out on command training once she'd chosen technical track, so now she would be taking back-to-back courses, more school. Her own fault, yet not a fault to spend much time on. Her Altiplano conscience worried about the quickness with which her retrained neurons pushed away that momentary pang of guilt, and she grinned mentally at it. Her Altiplano conscience, like her Altiplano family, could stay where it belonged, on Altiplano. She signed into the officer's quarters and the officer's mess, showing her clearance tags each time, picked up a duty roster, then a class schedule. She slung her gear into 235H, one anonymous cubicle in a row of anonymous cubicles, and then headed for the mess. Even if it was between mealtimes for the school, they should have something for officers arriving from different time zones. The dining room was almost empty when she walked in. A mess steward peered out from the galleys and then came toward her.
Lieutenant?
I just came in. Our ship was on...
Fleet standard. I understand, Lieutenant. You're overdue for midday, right? You want a full meal or a snack?
Just a snack.
She would get herself on the planet's schedule faster this way, but she felt hollow as a new-built hull at the moment. The steward seated her at a table a discreet distance from the two that were occupied and left to bring the food. Esme glanced casually at the others, wondering if they would be in her class. A young woman in fatigues without insignia, her curly blonde hair cropped short, sat hunched over what looked like a bowl of soup. Beside her, an older man in a lieutenant commander's uniform who, from his posture, was laying down the law about something. Esme looked away. Unusual to chew someone out while they were eating, but it would be rude to observe.
Father and daughter?
At the other table, three young men wearing exercise clothes who were, she realized, watching her. She met their gaze coolly, and they looked away. Not as if they were embarrassed, but as if they had seen all they wanted. Their gaze wandered the room steadily. They ignored the litter of plates and cups before them. The steward brought out a platter of sandwiches, pastries, and raw vegetable slices arranged in a fan-shaped pattern. Esme ate a sandwich of thinly sliced cantaloupe spread with horseradish sauce, several carrot sticks, and was considering one of the curly pastry things, which smelled so deliciously of cinnamon and hot apples.
I'm not quitting!
The young woman was sitting upright now, her face flushed slightly. With that flush, Esme could spot the irregular patches of fresh healing. She had been in a regen tank to repair some kind of injury to her face, and, Esme could not help looking, hands and arms. The older man threw a cautionary glance at Esme.
We can't effectively...
No, it's something else, something important.
This is completely unacceptable.
I know!
This was a bad idea.
Then she too looked around and met Esme's eyes. Some instinct prompted Esme to look not merely down, but, under lowered lids, across at the other table. The three men there now made sense. Their dismissive assessment of her, their constant surveillance of the room. These were the bodyguards of someone who hired the best, or to whom the best were by custom assigned.
Who are they guarding?
Esme glanced back at the young woman, surprised by an expression on both faces so alike that it had to imply a relationship. Her eye, trained on a planet where families mattered, and where she had been expected to recognize even the most distant Suiza cousin, picked out now the similarities of bone and proportion, as well as behavioral quirks, like the sudden lift of eyebrow that both older man and younger woman showed at that moment.
Brun.
Esme's mind caught on the unusual word, Brun. Wasn't that... She clamped her mouth shut on the apple tart. If that was the blonde girl who had been involved in the Xavier affair, then her father was the present Speaker of the Grand Council, the most powerful man in the Familius Regnant. What could they be doing here? Speculation having outrun data, she munched steadily through the tart, studiously ignoring the argument which continued in lower voices at the other table. She struggled to remember all the snippets of rumor she'd heard about Thornbuckle's wild youngest daughter, a spoiled beauty, a hot-headed fool who had plunged into the thick of intrigue with no training, an idiot who'd ended up dead drunk and naked in a rockhopper's pod in the aftermath of a battle, but also something about being, in some obscure way, Admiral Vida Serrano's protégé. because of her services to the Familius and, most particularly, to Admiral Serrano's niece, Harris.
Excuse me.
Esme swallowed the last bite of tart and looked up. It was one of the bodyguards.
Yes?
You're Lieutenant Suiza, aren't you?
Despite the therapy, her gut tightened.
Yes, that's right.
Lieutenant Commander Smith would like to meet you.
Lieutenant Commander Smith?
He nodded his head toward the other table.
Smith and his daughter.
For a moment, Esme wished that she had just lived with her hunger until the next scheduled main meal. She rose from the table.
Of course.
The older man and the young woman watched her approach with, Esme thought, the wrong sort of interest. The older man had the sort of face which might have been pleasant, but presently had locked into a tight mask of concern. The young woman looked both annoyed and afraid.
Commander Smith, I'm Lieutenant Suiza.
Have a seat.
Although his uniform fitted his tall, lanky body perfectly, she was sure it did not fit his spirit. It would have needed stars on the shoulders, and plenty of them.
This is an unexpected honor. I had heard about you, of course, from Admiral Serrano, after Xavier, and now this recent business.
This, for instance, was not the way a real lieutenant commander would have brought it up. Esme wondered whether to relieve him of the need for faking a military identity, and opened her mouth to do so.
Dad, stop it!
Brune, I'm merely...
You're not really a lieutenant commander, and it's not fair.
The young woman turned to Esme.
I'm Brune Meager, Lord Thornbuckle's daughter, and this is my father.
I'm pleased to meet Commander Smith, under the circumstances.
Well, one of you young ladies has a bit of discretion.
I'm not being indiscreet. She could see you weren't really a fleet officer, and I could see the wheels going round in her head as she tried to figure out how to handle it.
One allows prominent people to introduce themselves as they choose. One's private curiosity never intrudes.
Where are you from?
Altiplano, where, on occasion, senior officials may choose to appear in borrowed identities.
And where good manners seem to have penetrated more than in some other places.
I don't like deception.
Oh, really? That's why you so carefully avoided using your own name when you were coming back to Rockhouse.
That was different. There was a good reason.
There's a good reason now, Brune. And if you can't see that, I'll go back to calling you Bubbles with reason.
For all his low, even voice and quiet face, Lord Thornbuckle was seriously angry. Esme wished she were on the other side of the planet. Father-daughter conflict raised ghosts she wanted laid to rest. Brune subsided, but Esme had the feeling she was not really subdued.
Perhaps we could continue this in another location.
Esme could think of no polite way to refuse, and she wasn't sure where her duty lay as an RSS officer. But she would have to report to class at 0800 local time the next morning, and she had a lot to do in the meantime. Still, he was who he was, and even who he wasn't outranked her.
Of course, sir.
Thornbuckle nodded to the men at the other table, who stood up.
I'm afraid we will have an escort.
That didn't bother Esme. What bothered her was landing in the middle of whatever mess this was. She noticed that the escort split up, two going ahead and one trailing behind. She couldn't tell whether or not they were fleet. She felt she should be able to tell. The civilians aboard Koss had been obvious enough. These didn't look like civilians, but they didn't quite fit fleet, either.